1 Peter chapter 5, reading verses 6 and 7 from the ESV. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Let's pray. O Lord, enable us to look at this, Your Word, to take it as our own, to trust in You. Lord, enable my words to be true to Yours. Help us all to look to You as that one who takes us from this world and on into the next, who takes us from living a life that has no point, to living a life that is honoring to You. Lord, enable us to dwell in Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First time I went climbing and then did some rappelling. I don't know how many of you have done rappelling? Okay, quite a few. That's good. You know, the first time as I'm taking the rappelling is going back down. Okay, so you've got a rope and you're going back down the cliff or whatever it happens to be. And the first time I'm saying, I don't want to leave the edge of the cliff. You know, I want to cling to what's right there. And it doesn't work very well. And it's no fun trying to keep a hold of the cliff. What's great is when you finally trust in the rope and hopefully the guy that's put the rope around something has put it around something solid, and you lean back and you're just out in midair and you take and just walk down and sort of horizontally walk down the side of the cliff. It's a great feeling. There's freedom there. When you hold on, when you try to cling to the wall, it doesn't work. Do you worry? Think back to the last week. Are there things that came into your mind that you were anxious about? That you were worrying about? What did you do? Did you take every thought captive and put it into its proper context? Did you trust in your God? Did you rely upon Him to take you through that worry, to remove it from your mind? Did you throw it to Him? When we worry, we tend to get on a treadmill of discontent. Now, I hardly ever used a treadmill before until I came to Rochester, and then I joined a gym, and then there's a treadmill there. I said, oh, I'll try that. It's pretty neat, but where do you go? You know, I've climbed mountains, I've gone on the trails around here, I've done all sorts. You're moving from one place to another. What do you do on a treadmill? You stay in the same place. Now it's nice because you can watch TV or whatever, but the fact is you're not going anywhere. When we don't trust in our God, we're like on a treadmill. We're not going anywhere. We're clinging to the side of the cliff. And we don't go where we need to go. We start to make our own ways, to cling on, to manipulate people, to manipulate the things around us so that we can maybe get to where we want to go. But it doesn't work. You'll be on the treadmill. And you stay in the same place until you hand it over to God. Until you hand it over to the one who can take you from one place to another. To the one who can even bring you to Himself and give you an eternal life with Him. Now these two verses. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. These two go hand in hand. You cannot cast all your cares upon Him unless you have first humbled yourself before Him. And understand where you are in relation to your God, in relation to those around you. You must humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. There's a pattern here. Humble yourselves, and then cast all your anxiety upon Him. What happens? What does He do? Well, first of all, at the proper time, He lifts you up. And secondly, He gives you His care. So let's look at this pattern. First of all, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Now, God's hand is used for judgment or discipline. It could be for discipline. It's not necessarily ultimate judgment, but it could be discipline to bring people to Himself. Often it's used of bringing His people back to Himself. So it can be used for discipline. Exodus 3:20 is sort of a combination of the discipline and deliverance. Job 30:21 is the suffering that Job is going through as a discipline to get him to understand more, even more, about His mighty God. Psalm 32:4 talks about the discipline of the Lord. It can also be used for deliverance, bringing God's people out from Egypt in one sense, but out from the ways of the world in another sense. Deuteronomy 9:26 and Ezekiel 20:34 both talk about the deliverance that comes from God's hand. So God's hand is there both for discipline and for deliverance. Now what happens when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God? Well, ESV renders it, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. He may lift you up. It's not that you're looking to be put onto a pedestal and everyone bow down before you. It's the fact that sometimes when we see the cares of the world, when we see the things all around us, we tend to slide down into a pit. If we humble ourselves before our God, He reaches down and He lifts us up. He puts us on the right path. He puts us where we need to be to bring Him the honor and the glory. At the right time, at the proper time. Actually, in the Greek, it's just in time. He will lift you up in time. It is the proper time. It's His time. It's the time that He has ordained for you to be lifted up and to honor Him. He will lift you up at the proper time. So the pattern is first, humble yourself, and then God, His mighty hand, will lift you up. And then you cast all your cares upon Him. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. Casting. Well, when you think of casting, some people, they're going to think of a fishing pole and casting it out. This is just throwing all your cares upon Him, throwing all your anxieties upon Him, actually doing it, casting all your anxieties upon Him. You have to do it. You have to be willing to take it up, those anxieties that come in, those worries that come in, and throw them at your God, casting all your anxieties upon Him. Now, I coach softball. I get seventh grade girls in, and it's pretty funny sometimes watching seventh grade girls try and throw a softball when they haven't thrown one before. You see them pick up the ball, and usually girls start with their elbow down here, and then try and throw sort of like this. Boys don't usually do that. I have seen some boys throw that way as well, but boys generally don't do that. But you have to train the girls to get that elbow up, to get that arm back, and get into a right position, and then be able to throw the ball so that it goes where they want it to go. There's some training involved. Sometimes you have to take baby steps. When you're get that worry in your mind, you need to focus on it. You need to train yourself to take that worry and to say, God, I know you're more powerful than I am. I know that I can't do it on my own. I know that you are the one that brings me along, that knows each step of my path and will take me along the way. And you have to trust in Him. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and then cast that worry on Him. I just did it with my elbow down. But anyway, cast that anxiety upon Him. Throw that anxiety upon Him. Now, some people, you know, read that and say, okay, let go and let God. So I'm going to wait for God to tell me what to do each day of the week, and maybe I won't get out of bed this morning. Let go and let God. That's not the idea here. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We see that He is a part of every step of our life, and then we look at what He wants us to do, what He has given us to do. We look at how He has directed our path and the responsibilities that He has given us and the wonderful gifts that He has given us, and we use them for His honor and glory. And as we do that, we trust in Him. We throw all our cares upon Him. The idea of letting go and letting God is sort of like, I had one girl that she just was really enthusiastic. In the first week of softball practice, she would take that softball and she would throw it as hard as she could. And then she was down for about 2 weeks because she threw her arm out and her muscles weren't ready for it. The problem is that we need to understand, we need to put ourselves in God's hand. We need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and we need to see then, trusting in Him, where He is taking us, and carry out the responsibilities that He has given us. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. We won't experience that care unless we get to the point where we can put ourselves before Him, we can trust in Him. You won't get the sense of rappelling, the freedom that comes from rappelling down a mountain, until you're willing to lean back and say, okay, that rope is going to hold me, and I can just sort of drift out here, and I can have a good time. I can trust. You won't experience that until you can trust in your God. Humble yourself before Him, before His mighty hand, and know that anything you throw at Him, anything that you cast at Him, He cares for you. And He will bring things together, all things together, for the good of those who love Him. He cares for you. This word for cares, I just thought it was interesting. The word in Greek is mellow. And so I looked up the word mellow in English. There's no connection between the two, but I thought it was pretty, it sort of gave a nice idea. You know, I'm thinking about the rappelling and just sort of drifting down the mountainside. And, you know, when we really put ourselves in God's hand, we can mellow out a little bit. We can relax a little bit. We can rest in His care. Now, again, there's no connection, I don't think, between those two words, but it was just an interesting insight that came. So the pattern, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and then cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. We see examples of that too. So we've got the pattern, we've got examples, and then we will see that pattern worked out in our own lives. Some examples. You remember Joseph? Joseph, the favorite son, gets a new coat, walks around with that new coat in front of all of his brothers. Hey, look at my new coat. Isn't it nice that Dad loves me more than any of you? Is that a little bit of pride? I think Joseph had a little bit of pride as he's starting out. Now, his dreams, they were true. But when his brothers heard those dreams, they sure said, well, who does he think he is? We're going to bow down before him? I don't think at the start that Joseph understood everything that was going to happen to him. But as he's sitting in the bottom of the pit that his brothers threw him in, he may be starting to wonder what good being the favorite son is, you know, sitting at the bottom of the pit. But God had other plans. He was taken from the pit, sold into slavery, went to prison. All sorts of things happened to him until the point where he was lifted up. He humbled himself before his God, and God raised him up at the proper time. And when he sees his brothers coming, he does a lot of things to sort of make the point to them in terms of that God is in control. When he sees his brothers coming, and then finally he breaks down, he weeps, and he comes to his brothers and says, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and in the proper time He will lift you up. Cast all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you." Daniel. Now, we don't see the pride in Daniel. And it's funny because the two examples that I'll give you from the book of Daniel, we don't see the pride coming before. We see humble people to begin with. Now, there may have been some pride there beforehand, but I don't see where we see it in scriptures. But here are humble people giving themselves over to God. Daniel doing what God had called him to do, just following the same pattern that he did, going to God, looking into His Word, studying His Word, meditating upon it, and he, as a result, it's told that he's going into the lion's den. He's mellow about it. He knows God cares for him. He trusts in his God. And when he's sent into that lion's den, God preserves him. God cares for him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. What did they say when they got tossed into the furnace and the flames didn't touch them? What did they say when they came out? "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so," this is before they went in, sorry. This is before they got thrown into this, to the fiery furnace. "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, we're going to be thrown in. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." God is able to deliver us. They're telling the king that it doesn't matter what you do. God will still take care of us. But they add something else on too. "And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." God is able. But even if he makes me go through the fire, even if I am destroyed on this earth, I'm still trusting in God. God is able to preserve me. But if not, they had an eternal view. They knew that this life was not the end. They knew that there was more to it than just that fiery furnace. God is able to deliver us, but if not, we're still going to trust. We're still going to believe in Him because we know this is not the end. Has God delivered you from things? Has he put you in the place where you need to look to His deliverance? Were you ready to say at that point, "I know God can do it. I know God can deliver me. But guess what? This earth is not the end. I may not be delivered from this particular trial. I may not be delivered from this suffering that I'm going to face. But I know God has a better plan for me in the end. Do you have the eternal view that these three folks did? Paul, in his own pride, he's going out and he's persecuting Christians all around him. He's taking them and throwing them into jail. He's persecuting the Christians. Now, I like Paul because, he didn't just all of a sudden on his own come to the point where he said, God, I know that I'm doing something wrong and I know I need to humble myself before you. No, what happened? All of a sudden, the heavens open, and Jesus calls out from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his eyes are blinded from the light. God had to do something pretty dramatic in Paul's life to turn him around. Some of us are like that, where God needs to do something pretty dramatic to turn us around, to humble us, so that we can come before Him and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of our God so that we can look to that time when He will lift us up. Once he was humbled, God used him as His instrument over and over again. Peter, guy writing this book, not me, Lord. Everyone else might desert you. Everyone else might go away from you, but not me. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter was humbled. And then God used him. God used that humble Peter to reach out to the people of his world, to continue to work with them, to give us this wonderful book. Peter was humbled. Then God lifted him up. He cast his anxieties upon his God, and he knew that God cared for him. Prime example, Jesus. Philippians 2, have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he was sitting enthroned in heaven, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he gave himself up, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself before the mighty hand of God. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 5-11. At the proper time, God lifted him up. The proper time was after he lived a righteous life, after he suffered and died on the cross for our sins, after he paid the penalty that we deserved, then God lifted him up. So we see the pattern. We see some examples in Scripture of that pattern. And now, what is the pattern in your life? Are you reaching for success? Are you reaching for happiness, for fulfillment, for something that's out there? Well, if you're doing it in a way that's different from what Peter says here, then you're going to keep grasping. You're going to keep grasping after wind, and it's going to keep moving away from you. Because God's pattern is right here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Humble yourselves, and He will lift you up at the proper time. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. One great passage of Scripture in terms of anxiety. If you tend to worry, Come back to this verse. Memorize this verse. Keep going back to it. Also, turn over to Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. As we see Jesus teaching on anxiety. And it goes right along with what Peter has said in this passage. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How do we not be anxious? We cast our cares on our Lord. We humble ourselves before our Lord, knowing that at the proper time He will lift us up. We throw our cares upon Him. We throw our anxieties upon Him, trusting in Him, relying upon Him, knowing that He is the one who will care for us here on the earth, even through persecution, even through trouble, even through difficulties, even through health problems. He'll care for us. He'll bring us along. And we need to have that eternal view that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. If He doesn't save me from this trouble here and now, guess what? He will in the end. We have an eternal view, because we know that God will care for us. Where are you placing your trust? If it's on yourself, you're like those who are grappling against the wall, trying to hold on as they're going down the mountain, going down the cliff. If you lean back and trust, you'll have a much better time. And you'll see how God will care for you. Now, there is one caveat here, in that about 25% of climbing accidents happen when people are rappelling. And the reason is that the thing that they're attached to could be a problem. If it's not strong enough, guess what? When you lean back, what's going to happen? You're going to go all the way to the bottom. Not a good thing. Make sure you're trusting in the right thing. Make sure you're trusting in the right one. Make sure you're trusting in the God who cares for you, who has a mighty hand that will lift you up and exalt you at the proper time. Follow the pattern and trust in Him. What's the pattern? Learn these verses. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Let's pray. Lord, enable us to humble ourselves before You, to know that You will lift us up at the proper time, to cast our anxieties upon You, to cast all our cares upon You, because You're the God who cares for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.